Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
So did you ever wonder what it would be like to say everything you think with no concerns about being polite, or how it would feel to be famous, or to do absolutely everything your spouse asks? Well, our next guest took on these and other challenges. He recounts his experiences in The Guinea Pig Diaries, My Life as an Experiment. A.J. Jacobs, welcome to WNYC.
Thank you for having me.
For this book, you took on a different full immersion project each month. Why?
Well, it was basically I wanted to improve my life. So I try to do these experiments where I push myself to the extreme, and then I see how it affects me and what sticks. So that's what I did, as you mentioned.
One month you posed as a beautiful woman. Another you outsourced every aspect of your life. Then you followed George Washington's rules of civility. Which experiment was the hardest?
Well, one of the hardest was the experiment where I tried to be the most rational person alive, because it was really shocking how irrational human beings are when you start to examine every decision you make.
Did you see Maureen Dowd's column in the New York Times today with advice to President Obama on what to do for his health care speech? The headline was, "Less Spocky, More Rocky." So you tried to be Mr. Spock.
I was basically going for Mr. Spock. And, yeah, I mean, every decision we make is often based on laziness, and it's based on misinformation. Like even your toothpaste. You know, I started using my toothpaste because some guy at my summer camp was using it, and he seemed cool, so I started to use it. But once you start to examine it, is this really the best toothpaste for me? Is it the healthiest? Does it taste the best? So I changed my toothpaste. I mean, it's little things like that to big things. But I now use Tom's toothpaste, by the way, mango-flavored. It's delicious, and it makes my life better.
For your previous book, which we mentioned earlier in the show, The Year of Living Biblically, you famously followed every rule in the Bible, not only observing Sabbath and swearing off bacon, but growing a beard, not wearing blended fabric. You said that you came away with a better understanding of faith.
That's true. And that one changed my life for the better. And one of the things that really sticks with me on that one is gratitude. Because during my biblical year, the Bible says you got to say prayers of thanksgiving. So I was saying prayers all the time, and I got carried away. So I was thanking, you know, press the elevator button, and I would be thankful it arrived. I'd get in the elevator, and I'd be thankful it didn't plummet to the basement and kill me. So every day I'm just thankful for hundreds of things. And it was weird, but you do start to realize there are hundreds of things that go right every day. And we always focus on the three or four that go wrong.
Talk about the unitasking experiment. I think it probably sounds inconceivable to many of our listeners. What is unitasking, and did your productivity totally nosedive?
Well, this was the opposite of multitasking. So this is only doing one thing at a time. When you're talking on the phone, you're only talking on the phone. You're not doing the crossword. You're not emailing, which was crazy for me because, you know, I've been multitasking for 20 years now. And quite the opposite. My productivity went up because multitasking really is an illusion. You're not multitasking. You're not being more productive. You're switch tasking. So you're switching from looking at your email to back to the phone, looking at your email, and there's a startup cost in your brain every time you make that switch. So it helped me. It was incredibly hard because there's so many temptations. At times I had to literally blindfold myself while talking on the phone so I wouldn't be tempted.
Listeners, we have about 10 minutes with A.J. Jacobs, author of The Guinea Pig Diaries, My Life as an Experiment. He tried to do a different thing with total immersion for a month, each month for a year. Are you living experimentally in any way? What project are you taking on whole hog like this? Or any question you want to ask AJ, 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692, or post a comment or a question on our show page. Go to WNYC.org, click on Brian Lehrer Show. So let's see. Let's just run down these nine. You did not, actually I said a year, but you really did nine tasks, one each for a month, right?
About a month.
What haven't we mentioned yet?
Well, I I guess you mentioned that I outsourced my entire life. So that one was I hired a team of people in Bangalore, India, to do everything for me.
Everything?
So everything.
How about brush your teeth with that Tom's toothpaste? It's so delicious.
I tried to figure out a way, but I could. I was able to outsource not just my emails and my phone, but also arguing with my wife and reading bedtime stories to my son. So I got quite a bit of outsourcing done, but not the toothbrush.
People outsource reading bedtime stories to their children all the time, for better or for worse. What about arguing with your wife? How did you try to outsource that?
Well, that one was a little more difficult. But for instance, my wife got angry at me for not getting money at the ATM. And so I would email my outsourcer and say, you know, can you please apologize to my wife for not getting out money, but remind her that she too forgets things all the time. And then they would email her. The problem was my outsourcers were very, very nice. They were much nicer than me. So they would email, I'm so sorry, I love you so much. They would send her little electronic cards with hugging teddy bears. So she loved it. She said, oh, this is wonderful. This is great. They never got my little digs in. So they actually improved my marriage in that way.
You can't outsource attitude.
I think that's the
What
idea.
Else did you learn from the outsourcing experiment?
Well, I mean, honestly, it made me nervous because these people were so polite, so confident, and so eager, so willing to do anything that it made me nervous about the economy. And one thing that actually did restore my faith is that after this came out originally as an article in Esquire magazine, a man wrote me a letter and told me that he had been laid off, but he outsourced his job hunt. After reading my article, he hired someone in India to look for a job for him, and she found him a job within a week. So maybe maybe that's the solution, outsource our job hunt.
Daniel in Sunset Park, you're on WNYC. Hello.
How you doing?
Okay.
I'm multitasking as we speak, because I'm carrying my groceries up the stairs while speaking to you after parking my car.
Careful. Down he goes. Was it you falling down the metal steps?
I wanted to know about learning a new language, how immersion works on that, and how far I could get in, say, a month of immersing myself in Spanish.
Well, I don't think AJ is a language expert, but do you have any opinion on that?
I didn't try that, but I will say that it's very good for your brain to do that. It really is. It jumpstarts the brain, and so doing these things, I think, I recommend it for everyone. You don't have to go as far as completely swearing off multitasking or completely telling the truth, but take it a little. You know, try to spend a month without answering email. You know, maybe just three times a day.
Thank you, Daniel. Wait, you tried to tell the truth for a full month?
Yes,
nothing but the truth.
That was probably the most difficult.
The whole truth.
And nothing worse. It's this movement called radical honesty that I found, and this guy is he's a real psychologist in Virginia, and his belief is you should never ever lie, but more than that, whatever's on your brain should come out of your mouth. So it's no filter, and this was horrible. As you can imagine, you know, the title of the chapter is "I Think You're Fat." So that's sort of a hint as to what kind of conversation.
And what were the hardest truths to tell? You've already talked about arguing with your spouse. Were you saying, you know, honey, you're a jerk, when you would have said, oh, okay, well, I'll try to do better next time?
Oh, absolutely. There was lots of that. You know, we would run into some old friends of hers at a restaurant, and they would say, oh, we should all get together. And I would have to say what I was thinking, which was horrible, which was, so I have no interest in seeing you again. You seem nice, but I have my own friends that I want to see. So thanks, but no thanks.
It's not me. It's you. Marion in Verona, you're on WNYC. Hi, Marion.
Hi, how are you?
Good. What you doing?
Well, I'm going, starting September 19th, continuing my quest to be perfect for a year. So I was very interested in your guest today because I, too, am taking on a major task.
You're going to try to be perfect for a year?
That's
perfect
right.
In what way?
Well, in every way. For example, my husband and I lost weight through Weight Watchers about 3 or 4 years ago, but I am now going to perfectly follow my points and maintain that eating way. I will be in school, and I will map out the time to do my schedule perfectly where I'm not staying up late or I'm not spending too much time on one topic that I don't have enough for another one. I'm going to keep my schedule for the day where my dog gets walked properly. I sit down and I eat my breakfast. A lot of it has to do with not multitasking.
Sounds very rigorous.
I thought it was, and then I had started this in 2007 and then had to stop. But I haven't stopped thinking about it. And what I realized that in order to be perfect, I had to stop doing a lot of things. And so I'm able to really see what is most important. And so the rigorousness, if that's a word, I would perfectly know that in on September 20th.
Yes, you'll know
today.
That it's rigor.
Yes.
Mary, thank you very, very much, and good luck to you.
Thank you.
Perfection is impossible to attain, isn't it?
Absolutely. Especially, that was one of the things I learned during my attempt to be rational, is that our brains are built to be irrational. So it's pretty much impossible for us to attain perfection.
Tess in New Haven wants to thank you. Tess, thank him for what?
I wanted to thank him for writing the book, The Year of Living Biblically.
Oh, bless you.
I had grown up in church and spent a lot of time, you know, feeling very close to faith and felt pushed out by the religious fundamentalists. You know, felt like, you know, I really didn't have a place in what they were saying anymore. And I really picked up your book ready for a good laugh. And instead, I found it giving me permission to find a way back to, you know, my own spirituality and, you know, and sort of taking it back to a certain degree.
Oh, that's wonderful to hear. That's great. Yeah, I'm one of the points of the Bible book was that we can't take the Bible completely literally, and that cafeteria religion is okay. It's okay to choose different parts of the body. I mean, not the Bible, and there's nothing wrong with cafeterias. So I'm really glad to hear.
And that. Maybe the body too. Tess, thanks a lot for your call, and we're going to have to leave it there. We've been talking to A.J. Jacobs, author of The Guinea Pig Diaries, My Life as an Experiment. And he will be reading at Barnes & Noble, Broadway and 82nd Street, on September 21st at 7 p.m. That's Monday, September 21st, 7 p.m. A.J. Jacobs, thanks for being here.
Thank you, Brian.
Lisa Allison, Jody Avigan, and Eileen Markey produced this program. We had intern help today from Neil Makija, Tala Al-Husri, and Mary Beth Holman. And our senior producer is Megan Ryan. That's Debbie Fountain at the audio controls. I'm Brian Lehrer.